So, Stephen, what do you think? Are you proud of me? Or did I do the right thing?
Welcome to Possibly, where home renovations get personal. I'm your host, Nancy Pick. Most of us know in the back of our heads that we're making choices that hurt the planet. What's harder is knowing what to do about it. That's why Possibly exists. We talk to experts and to everyday people to find real solutions among the noise. Today's topic, how do we heat our houses without cooking the planet? With me are Stephen Porter and Megan Hall. Stephen is a professor of environmental science at Brown University. A few years ago, he renovated his house to make it extremely energy efficient. He'll talk about it to pretty much anyone who'll listen. He's kind of obsessed with this stuff. Here's his daughter, Phoebe.
I told the kids in my class that living here was like watching An Inconvenient Truth 90% of the time. Every time we were watching it, and they were like, this is so depressing. I'm like, you guys, this is my life.
God bless her. I hope she has a good time at camp.
On the other hand, we have Megan Hall. She's a writer and a former reporter who just bought her first house. It's old and it needs some repairs, but she doesn't have a lot of money or a lot of time. Can someone like Megan make changes to her home that are both affordable and energy efficient? Will these renovations make sense for her family? And what will Stephen say? We'll talk to Megan and Stephen to find out. So, welcome to Megan Hall.
Hi, Nancy.
How'd this all get started?
All right, so we were all having dinner a little while ago, and Stephen was bragging about his renovations. He loves to talk about them. And he was saying that if you want to make this kind of change to your house, make it more energy efficient, the best thing to do is to pair it with some sort of big change that you were already going to make to your house. And I said, well, I just bought a house and I think we need a new roof. Is this the time to do something special to make it more energy efficient? And he said, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about your house. Can you describe it?
Our house, it was built in 1950. It's a cape. I live there with my husband and my two daughters. They're 2 and 4, so little girls. It's a great house with lots of space, but it's old. And one thing about it is that upstairs where the girls are, it gets really, really hot. Here's just some sound of me talking to my husband about that the other day.
Now sometimes when I bring the girls upstairs and it's so hot, I feel like such a jerk. I'm like, oh, it's really miserable.
It's like 140 degrees up there, that upstairs.
And the thing about it is we actually do have central air conditioning. We just only turn it on every once in a while when it's really hot or once when I was pregnant. But now that the girls are up there, I
feel like I think about turning it on more when I think about how uncomfortable they are and what cruel parents we are, because it's cooler down here than it is up there.
Well, we put that fan on them up there.
I'll also add that in the wintertime, there are many days where I'm in the house and I feel really cold and I put on a lot of clothes and then I go outside and it's warmer outside than it is inside.
So it's fair to say that your house has some heating and cooling challenges.
Yes.
Now, Stephen, tell us about your house.
So my house was built in 1920. We moved in 2007, and like Megan's house, it was freezing cold in the winter, especially in patches. So you'd sit on the floor and it would be cold, but it wouldn't be cold on the stairwell or whatever. And a couple of years ago, I had some time to think about how to renovate it in a way that would make it both a lot more comfortable and a lot more energy efficient. As you heard from Phoebe, I'm sort of obsessed with climate change and how we can reduce the amount of greenhouse gases we let out into the atmosphere. So off we went.
And what did it cost?
Well, the bottom line is it cost about $125,000 to do all of the renovations.
So not a trivial amount.
Not a trivial amount.
I will add that my mortgage is $150,000.
For sure. I'll add on to that and say some of it was for stuff that definitely needed to be done anyway. The attic wasn't really very nice or usable. We renovated it so that we could get access to the roof, put in a ton of insulation, and then made it into a really beautiful like master bedroom suite. And my wife and I moved up there.
So now you have a super energy efficient house. And why does it matter to you? What's at stake here?
Well, it matters for two reasons. It matters for a personal reason, which is the house is much more comfortable and I feel better about living in it. And the second reason flows from that. I feel better about living in it because heating our houses is a big part of our greenhouse gas emissions, and greenhouse gas emissions are making for a worse future for me and my children and everybody else and everybody else's children.
And how much does heating our houses contribute to climate change?
So in the U.S., it's about 6%. In New England, it's much higher than that because New England is a cold climate. So it's probably closer to 15%. I actually did the calculation for Megan, and for Megan, it's about half of her greenhouse gas emissions come from heating her house.
Wow.
So it's actually quite substantial.
I didn't realize it was that much. I thought it would be 20% or something like that.
All right, so you know what you did with your house, which was a substantial renovation. And what were you hoping that Megan would do?
Well, I'm not a building expert. So what I was hoping she would do was seriously consider coupling what she needed to do with a little bit extra that would have a dramatic impact on the amount of gas that she was needing to burn to heat her house. And I thought that probably would include insulation and might include changes to her heating equipment, like her boiler.
So this podcast is about that. What's Megan going to do? She's got Stephen sitting on her shoulder, suggesting that she be very conscientious about her energy efficiency. But then there are other factors at play too, right, Megan?
Right. So I don't have a lot of spare money to put into a renovation. I have young children that take up a lot of attention. And my husband is pretty sentimental. Here's something that he said about his instincts when it comes to protecting the environment.
A lot of other places in life, I'm like, I'm not going to get a new one. I'm going to take care of this old one, the spatula that I have. Like any, you know what I mean? Any old thing. I feel like I'm doing my best and I'm making the world a better place. And I'm like not part of the problem if I'm just taking care of my old stuff.
Ryan says that he has the little key to our radiator and he treasures bleeding each radiator every year. And he likes the ritual of that. So he's really attached to these old objects and he's resistant to giving them up.
I understand that feeling very, very well. And he's right, actually, that in most cases, if you're not buying something new, you actually are doing something very conservative in the conservation sense of the word conservative. But on the other hand, the way that we are doing business as usual, living entirely dependent on fossil fuels, is having dramatic changes already. And it's going to have even bigger changes here in Rhode Island and around the world. We're going to lose a lot of coastline. We're going to see maple syrup production disappear from New England. We're going to see all sorts of big changes that I'm sentimental about as well. It's just a different kind of sentimental.
So that's the quandary.
Yes.
Megan, where'd you start?
Okay, so after I talked to Stephen, I already knew that I needed to make some changes to my house. And so I had an inspector come out to the house and just take a look at the entire thing. The guy that came out was named Charles Grassy, and he goes by Chip.
For this is my 25th year. The name of my company is Cornerstone Home Inspection.
So Chip came out to my house, and he found a lot of things that we needed to fix.
I hope this isn't your electrical panel. I mean, it's not supposed to be in the bathroom.
I would say the number one thing that he found was related to what Stephen cares about, and that was about the efficiency of our house.
You got a 1950s boiler and 1950s insulation, you know, with 2018 energy costs. That's a bad combination. If you can keep the 50s energy costs, you know, that's a whole different situation.
I had almost no insulation in our roof. And we have this boiler from when the house was built that is so big, it was originally built to hold coal.
It's a big, giant cast iron block. I mean, they were made to last. A little Art Deco look to it, you know. Like an old Chevy car, it'll run forever if you change the oil.
This was music to Ryan's ears. He loves cars. So comparing our boiler to a Chevy was really appealing to him. And when Chip was talking to us about the efficiency of the boiler, he said that there are some trade-offs in his mind when you get a new unit.
So I equate the new system, say a Porsche, they run terrific, but you better bring them in for service every year or you could end up in trouble. Where something like this, yes, you're supposed to service them every year, but they're not on the edge of efficiency performance, so it can, you know, kind of chug along and be fine, and, you know, you're not always maintaining it.
We have a Chevy house, a Porsche house.
I don't know if you can hear that, but that's Ryan in the background saying, we're a Chevy house, not a Porsche house.
I think his analogy is completely off.
Why?
Because a Porsche is even less efficient than a Chevy. But I don't think that's the right analogy for your furnace.
What do you think is the right analogy?
I think you're running 1950s technology in the 21st century with an understanding of 21st century problems. And when that thing was built, nobody was worried about this issue, and energy prices were cheap. ExxonMobil just proposed a tax on carbon of $40 per ton, which would increase your costs $240 a year just for heating your house.
So you're saying that if we really paid the true cost of having this boiler, we would be more motivated to replace it?
Absolutely.
Well, either way, we had some more information from Chip, and then we had to decide what to do next.
So what did you do next?
So the next thing I did was I went to Steven's house to take a look at the changes that he made to see if maybe he could inspire me to try some of those things or at least help me understand what was possible.
Steven's house being an energy efficient Porsche.
I would say that my house looks pretty regular. The only difference between my house and Megan's house really is that it's insulated well enough that we don't need a furnace.
Okay, so I went over there and I met with Dave Caldwell.
Vice President of Caldwell & Johnson Custom Builders.
Who was the contractor that worked with Stephen to make all these changes.
We are at Lorraine Drive on the east side of Providence, reviewing a deep energy retrofit of a kind.
And we're going to start in the basement.
Okay.
That's where all the good stuff starts.
That's right, let's go down.
So we went around quickly and looked at some of the changes that Stephen made. He showed us all the insulation that he put into the house, and he showed us where he tore out his boiler.
What used to be right here was a big old oil tank and a big old steam belching boiler to make the steam to heat the house.
And what does it look like now? Tell me what I'm seeing.
You're seeing nothing. It's wide open. There's nothing here.
And in their place, he put in these heat pumps.
There's lichen growing on there. So this, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They look like air conditioner compressors. They're sitting outside in the little sort of dandelion-filled part of the yard that I never clean.
And heat pumps basically act like air conditioners, but they also heat. They're electric. And in Steven's house, they're connected to these wall mounts. So in each room, instead of a radiator, there's a wall mount that's able to cool and heat the house.
So, Stephen, for people who haven't heard about heat pumps, can you explain a little bit about why they're better than having an old-fashioned boiler?
Sure. They're simply much more efficient. So what they're doing on a hot day is that it takes heat from your house and dumps it outside into the hot air outside. And in the winter, when you're using a heat pump to heat your house, it's doing the opposite. It's extracting heat from the outdoor air and bringing that heat into your house. The reason that this is better than a furnace is simply that it takes much less energy to move heat around than it does to burn fuel and then move that heat around. What's running my heat pumps is electricity. I pay to have my electricity produced from renewable sources like wind and solar, but even if you're just getting it from the regular Rhode Island grid, the heat pump is so much more efficient than the furnace that it's much better for the environment.
Okay, so the heat pump is more efficient, and because it's just using electricity, and to the extent that you can control how that electricity is produced, you can have greener heating and greener cooling. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, is this something that Megan could do, or would this cost a fortune?
So I mentioned it to my husband. I talked to Ryan, and...
No, I'm not getting a new heater. Ours is working. We have the iron one, the old-fashioned one. It's fine for me. That's what I grew up on. Like, leave it alone.
I also asked our inspector. I described what Stephen had done to his house. And Chip said that he does think that heat pumps are the future, but he wasn't so sure for our house.
It's just hard when you have a functioning boiler and there's nothing wrong with it to replace it, right? It'd be like your car runs perfect, there's nothing wrong with it, but you're going to go from 20 miles a gallon or say 20 miles a gallon to 23. 30 miles a gallon. Well, is how much does a car cost?
And I talked to Dave Caldwell about this.
He's right. So you have a heater that works fine, pretty bulletproof. The house has been chugging away without any issues. So that would be a question for you to say, is this worth it to replace our boiler? You know, the answer is, economically, probably not. Simple as that.
Steven doesn't look very happy about that.
Well,
that's the unfortunate reality of that one.
I think this is a great example of
Steven went on to talk about the real cost of our inefficient boiler. But it was definitely not a win for this effort to try to be more efficient.
So here we are. How is it all going to turn out? We'll tell you more after the break. You're listening to Possibly. So before the break, Megan was talking about making two potential changes to her house, adding more insulation and installing something called a heat pump, which is super efficient, runs on electricity, and can work as a heater as well as an air conditioner. But it seems like a dead end. Megan?
Yes, so we were talking about potentially putting in a heat pump like Steven did in his house, but when I talked to my husband, he was not interested in replacing it. Our house inspector said it didn't really make sense. And even Steven's eco-friendly contractor acknowledged that it didn't really make economic sense to get rid of this boiler. But then, while Steven was trying to talk about why we should still do it, because we should just consider the ecological consequences of having this old, terrible boiler.
For the moral reasons, the larger social good.
As Stephen was making his case, Dave, who worked on Stephen's project, interrupted us.
I have good news for you, because you put me on the spot without reading the inspection report. Yeah, this house does have central air conditioning. Okay, someone has very fortuitously left you with ductwork in the house. So if you were to replace the outside unit, you could plug in a new air conditioning system that does heat.
Really?
Yes. There you go. Yeah, so just, happy ending.
Yeah, happy ending.
So I don't know if you caught that. Basically what Dave said was, because my house has central air conditioning, it already has ducts that go to every room of the house. So if we wanted to get a heat pump, we wouldn't have to pull up our radiators. What we could do is we could just replace the air conditioner we already have with a heat pump, and that heat pump could use the air conditioning ducts to both heat and cool our house. And Steven added that we could probably still keep our boiler.
You know, what that means is that for many months of the year, like October, November, when it's cold but not super cold, you don't need to turn your furnace on. The heat pump will be able to easily keep your house warm. And then when it gets super cold, you can crank up the furnace.
Ryan, my husband, loved this idea.
That narrative is very comforting to me. That would make me feel very good. Now that changes things. To know that I can swoop in with my old-fashioned Chevy and save the day. Yes, now I want the new one.
He really liked the idea of proving that these heat pumps were no good, and when it really came down to it, the boiler would keep us warm in the winter.
So this might be a compromise.
We'll see.
We'll see. Now, what about insulation?
Okay, so our inspector said we needed insulation. Dave Caldwell, who worked with Steven, said we needed insulation. There seemed to be unanimous agreement that our house definitely needed that.
And where does this leave you in terms of your thinking?
Ryan and I talked about it, and we were interested in doing both things, depending on the cost. The problem was we didn't have any hard numbers. And I asked Dave Caldwell to give us a quote, and he was very hesitant to do that, because he couldn't see our house, he didn't know our situation, he didn't want to say anything on tape that he couldn't back up. So what we did was we called National Grid, and we got a company called Rise Engineering to come out to the house and do an energy audit.
That's them.
All right.
Hi!
Hello!
Hi, how are you? Erin, nice to meet you.
I'm Michelle.
Michelle, welcome. Come on in.
That's Erin Roulard and Michelle Fleming from Rise.
This is my husband.
Anyway, they came in. And they happened to come in while my kids were trying to take a nap, so you might hear them screaming in the background.
Oh my goodness.
They were very thorough. They went all over the house. They went downstairs and looked at the boiler.
It's definitely old. It's probably not extremely efficient.
Michelle went outside and she drilled into our walls to see if we had insulation in there. So they came, did a full assessment, and then Michelle sat down for about an hour and started plugging in numbers to describe what she thought we needed to do to our house and how much it would cost.
An hour of number crunching.
Oh, yes. Most of it was just her sitting down, taking all the data that she gathered about our house and typing up a work plan and a cost estimate for making our house more energy efficient.
So for the first time in this tale, you have hard numbers, and you're going to use those as you're trying to make a decision about what to do to your house. How much more will Megan have to pay? We'll get the numbers after the break. You're listening to Possibly. Before the break, Megan had an energy audit of her house to see how much it would actually cost to fix the insulation in her home and to buy what's called a heat pump, which is a super efficient electric way to heat and cool her house. So what'd you find out?
So our major issue with our house is that we have these what are called knee walls. So there are these little sections on either side of the girl's room. They're just empty space. When we heat our house, the heat just goes straight up through that knee wall and into the roof. And that's why their room is really cold in the winter and really hot in the summer. Michelle from Rise says that's pretty easy to fix.
Once this area is insulated, you typically see a complete 180 in comfortability on this level.
So Michelle recommended insulating those knee walls, doing some work in the basement. She had a whole list of things for us to do.
I recommended the same rigid board for the sills. We'll take care of the roof ends. They'll also insulate the floor with 14 inches of cellulose.
And she gave you a price.
Yes. So at the end of all of that, she put all the numbers together and gave me this piece of paper that had our work order on it and the cost for every item that she recommended that we do. And all of this was just related to insulating the house. And there are more than 12 items on here.
And your total would be just under $6,000. You get 75% off and 10 hours of air sealing for free. So brings you to $1,346.
To do all that insulation?
Yep.
That sounds pretty reasonable. Steven?
Sure, that's a lot less money than I was expecting her to say. On the other hand, not knowing what she was really proposing to do, I'm not...
But it's a start.
Totally.
It's affordable. And it leads to the next issue, which is that heat pump. And it's called a heat pump, but it also cools. So is it a possibility?
I asked Michelle about that because I heard that National Grid offers 0% loans for purchasing energy-efficient heaters.
Which I had done. I had gotten one of those loans.
As far as going from gas to electric, I don't really know. I just don't want to say 100% that it is.
So she told me to call someone at Rise who's an expert on this. I called her. Her name was Janine. Steven knows her. He's nodding.
I think I talked to her when I went through this process.
So I talked to Janine. I called her. She was very nice. She said, number one, you can't get the 0% loan for air conditioning. In Massachusetts, you can, but for some reason, Rhode Island hasn't caught up, so they will only help with efficient heating.
But this is heating.
True. So that was my second question. I said, but here's my plan. My plan is to put it in, and it will both heat and cool the house, and then I'll use the boiler just when it's really cold. And she said, that's a problem, because that would be supplemental to your heating system, not replacing it. And we can only give you a 0% loan if you're actually replacing your inefficient heater.
Steven is holding his head right now with exasperation.
Yeah, it makes sense to me that you have to make a rule, but that's a very unfortunate bureaucratic hurdle to what is genuinely a good solution.
So out of pocket, what would a heat pump cost?
I think the cost of the heat pump would be maybe $3,000, maybe $2,500, but it really does depend on the size that you would need, and you would need an actual quote.
Yeah, I think when I was talking to someone else who did some work for you, he said that the heat pump plus all of the installation and any sort of changes would probably be more close to $6,000 or something like that.
Okay.
So where does this leave us? What did you and Ryan decide?
I sat down with Ryan and I asked him what he thought we should do.
Do you think it's a waste of money to spend $1,300 putting a bunch of insulation in the house?
No, I mean, I guess it's not that much money. I think it'll make it a little bit nicer up there.
He said he'd do it for me because he knew it mattered to me, but you can't really see insulation. It's not something you brag about to your friends when they come over. It just...
It's not a Chevy or a Porsche, right?
It's insulation. And he just couldn't get too excited about it.
I totally get it. It's the easiest thing to do. It's the most bang for your buck in terms of helping the world, making your house feel better. But your buck doesn't go into a new car that you can see or a new porch or a new kitchen or whatever. That feels different.
But your sense is you're going to go ahead with the insulation.
Yes. So we e-signed for it. And hopefully now we'll be cleared to have some contractors come in and put in all this insulation.
And then what about the heat pump?
Now's not the time for the heat pump. We have our old stuff, but it's getting us by. I think when our stuff breaks, that'll be the way to go. For now, like, don't go giving yourself more trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
So Ryan is okay with getting a heat pump eventually. So, Stephen, what do you think? Are you proud of me, or did I do the right thing?
I'm very proud of you.
Are we okay?
We can continue to be friends, Megan. So I think it's a very rational and reasonable decision. You know, I think the unfortunate thing is that everybody making the decision that makes sense for their own personal situation isn't enough to solve the problem that we're already experiencing and that our children certainly are going to experience in a dramatic way. So, yeah. I hope that new heat pump comes sooner rather than later. I'm going to go out and sabotage your air conditioner.
Oh. And on that note, we will leave things there and possibly check in with Megan a year from now and see how the insulation has affected her electricity costs and the comfort of her house, and also see if that air conditioner has broken. Until then, I'm Nancy Pick.
I'm Megan Hall.
And I'm Stephen Porter.
Possibly is written by us and produced by Megan. Music and sound design is by Tom Van Buskirk. Stephen Porter is our founder, executive producer, and ultimate fact advisor. Funding comes from the Institute at Brown for Environment and Society and its Program for Environmental and Civic Engagement, with in-kind support from Rhode Island Public Radio.
But the opinions in this podcast come from us, not them.
And Stephen Porter, who is so obsessed with his efficiency renovations, his daughter drew him a picture of the ideal water heater.
And the whole idea was to make a hot water heater that would serve the environmental benefit.
No, the idea was to make a hot water heater so you would stop complaining about it.
Fair enough.